Broadcasting live from atop the Rocky Mountains, the crossroads of the West. You are listening to the Liberty Roundtable Radio Talk Show.
All right. Happy to have you along, my fellow Americans. Sam Bushman and Kurt Cosby live on your radio. Hard-hitting news the networks refuse to use. No doubt continues now. This is the broadcast for October the 15th in the year of our Lord, 2018. This is hour two of two, and our goal, steady as a rock, that is to protect life, liberty, and property, and to promote God, family, and country on your radio in the traditions of our founding fathers. Kurt Cosby's with me. Welcome, sir.
Buenos dias. Greetings and salutations. Howdy, howdy, howdy. Thank you, Sam.
You're very welcome. Lowell Nelson, campaignforliberty.org, RonPaulInstitute.org has graciously decided to stay with us for 2 hours today. Thank heavens we have so many topics to cover. We're talking right now about the shutdown of the alternative or the new media taking center stage. The mainstream press is being attacked by Donald as being evil and dishonest and everything else, but nothing happens to those folks. In fact, whenever Donald wants to break news, he goes straight to the people that he suggests he hates. I don't understand that. Nevertheless, we the people in alternative media, or the new media taking center stage, as I like to say it, we are bringing to you news the networks refuse to use. We are forcing the narrative, even in the mainstream press, to cover stories that they never covered before. To deal with issues and points on stories. They don't go as far as they ought to, but they at least include some of the other side of the story, some of the details that are necessary. And when confronted, they're forced to put the facts on the table more so than ever before. And thank heavens for that. Lowell, you with us?
I'm with you, Sam.
All right, perfect. So that's where we kind of finished up last hour. Go ahead, sir.
Well, yeah, just to set expectations, I realized I have a work meeting at 8:45, so I'll need to stop about 8:35, 8:40 is when I would need to drop off, and you just continue on without me. But I was just reading the Caitlin Bennett stories that you talked about last Saturday.
That's brutal, isn't it?
That's a great example of a person who's, making news and being an activist for the right cause, the cause of liberty, and then it going viral on the platform that, the Twitter platform just blew up with that photo shoot of her. And so, that's using their platform against them. And so if we're going to do that, that's probably a good thing. But, in the long run, Sam, I think we need our own platforms if we really want to be in this for the long haul. Sam?
You got that right. There's no doubt about it. Kevin, Florida, wants to chime in on the censorship issue. Kevin?
Hey, Sam. How you doing? Lowell, Kurt?
Excellent, sir.
Hey, so I wanted to chime in on this topic real quick. You guys had mentioned that, these are private companies and they're allowed to do what they want. On one hand, I agree. But on the other hand, what they're doing is a coordinated effort between Twitter, Facebook, but all these media social media sites, they're doing a coordinated effort. And what I mean is, when they banned the 800 accounts last week, literally at the same time, Twitter did the same thing. All the, Pinterest, Facebook, all these big giants did it at the same time. So there's a coordination going on, number one. And that definitely brings some criminal implications under the Title II, the Sherman Act, I believe. Secondly, a lot of the censorship is starting to happen. Of course, the most prolific with Alex Jones. They're going after his credit card processing and software that he's using on his website. So that's the second point I want to make, is that it's going this deep. Third is that is not what they're doing with censoring conservative voices. Only censoring conservative voices and not censoring liberal voices. Is that not a donation in kind to Democrats to help rig the election, what they've been saying that they're going to prevent to stop? Because that's what I see happening. I don't see, Democrat congressmen and senators losing their social media accounts, but we see it happening to conservative senators and stuff like that. So I would submit what they're doing is election fraud, and it's a donation in kind to the very people that cry, election rigging.
I think you're spot on, in fact, but the problem is, unless you sue and prove that point in court, you don't have a leg to stand on. But I agree with your point. Lowell, do you want to respond to Kevin?
No, I just totally agree 100% with his point, and I think that that's why, this is timed. It's right now before the midterms. Mail-in ballots have been, mailed out, and people are going to be voting in the midterm elections, and so the establishment, the government, the leftist organizations, they don't want the alternative media out there hurting their chances to get reelected. And so that's one of the reasons I think that this purge is occurring right now, this time of year.
Well, and yeah, I agree with you. And, we do have Trump in the White House. I know he's not perfect, but he's better than probably what we've had in the better part of, I would say, probably 80 years. He's come out against world government, totally rejected and denounced globalism in front of the UN, the world government themselves. And so I think we got a people person in the White House, and it's up to us to guide him. We have the ear of the president. And so I would leave that with the listening audiences. Just keep that in mind. He's not perfect, but we can make him perfect. We can make him, bring forth the agenda. And I think more and more he's starting to wake up and see it. So I'll leave that. Great, great show, guys.
Amen. Thanks, Kevin. All right, there he goes, Lowell. I think he's right that we need to influence the best we can. I have a lot of concerns about Donald Trump. I've focused on them many a time. I've got another big one that just came out in the news. Hopefully we'll get to today or tomorrow. But I agree with Kevin at the same time that, you know what, we got to influence him. He's done a lot of good, and he'll do more good, especially if we put polite, kind pressure on him to do so.
Well, and speaking about the polite, kind pressure, Sam, I just was made aware yesterday of this article, you know, where Andrew Brunson, the journalist that was held in Turkey for 2 years, he made it back to the White House in 24 hours, you know, and then he actually prayed with Donald Trump. I don't know if you caught this story or not, but he asked President Trump if he could pray. And there he was in the Oval Office with his shoulder on the hand, with his hand on the president's shoulder, and he prayed to God that God would grant Trump supernatural wisdom as he leads this country. And so, I mean, you talk about influence. I think that one incident alone of this pastor from, he got freed from Turkey, and Trump helped to make that happen, and then hosted him there in the Oval Office there in the White House. And then the pastor prayed for heaven to bless Donald Trump with supernatural wisdom in leading this country. Sam, I think that's powerful. I think we discount the power of prayer too often, and I think every one of us needs to be praying for the success of liberty in this country and throughout the world, Sam.
Kurt, what do you say to that?
You know, I just, it's amazing, you know, the whole President Trump thing and the preacher from Turkey. He says he loves Turkey and he also loves America, you know, and he loves, you know, President Trump. He thinks he's great. And he, as Lowell said, he prayed with him. There was some coverage of that since it was done over the weekend. The standard media wants to kind of downplay that, so there won't be much residual coverage, if you will. It's too hot to handle, Sam. It's a prayer thing, and, you know, pastors and God and all that kind of stuff, they don't like that. If it was blood and guts and shooting at a theater or something, then it would get a lot more coverage.
Amen to that. You know, it's hard to know what to say about this. We'll leave this topic alone for now, but suffice it to say, the new media is taking center stage. The internet's made it all possible. Good, honest people are participating in the process. There's just not enough of us and not enough even funding for the legitimate efforts that we have. We don't need a gazillion dollars like the other guys, but we do need sufficient for our needs, so to speak. We do need enough to make it happen. Radio and TV and some of the things we're doing, incredibly expensive. And so we do need financial support, libertyroundtable.com. We do need people to get involved and put their money where their mouth is and make a difference. And we thank those who are already doing that. They are not unnoticed. They are grateful, or we are grateful, and they are super appreciated. There's no doubt about it. But we'll keep up the fight on this. We'll keep up the battle and the discussion points on this big time. Now, there's a big old scandal unfolding, too, that you need to know about, ladies and gentlemen. We mentioned to you that last week that Rand Paul is saying, hey, we got to chop off funding to Saudi Arabia. These people are out of control. That was last week. Rand Paul said that, and we agreed with it and highlighted that on the radio when he said it. I also cast your mind back to Ron Paul back in the day after 9/11. Ron Paul literally said, hey, man, the Saudis are responsible for a lot of this. We need to do something about it. And everybody kind of lacked and mocked and jeered and ignored. But it is in the congressional record. He did speak publicly on the House floor about this many a times. Ron Paul doing a phenomenal job. Fast forward to today, lol. The plot thickens. We were warned decades ago, sir.
You're exactly right, Sam, and you're referring to this article about Jamal Khashoggi, this journalist who was a very outspoken critic of Saudi Arabia, who, like me, criticized them for their war on Yemen and for their bully-like attitude in the Middle East. Well, it turns out that Jamal, he disappeared, Sam. He entered the consulate there, the Saudi Arabia Istanbul consulate there October 2nd, and he never came out. He was killed inside the facility. It's believed that his body was dismembered and then secretly flown back to Saudi Arabia for disposal. But now this is the latest, Sam. According to a paper in Turkey, he turned on his Apple Watch recorded the event, the last minutes of his life, recorded his interrogation, his torture, and his murder, and that this was transmitted live to an iPhone held by his fiance, who is waiting for him outside, Sam.
And they're still debating on what really went down and what really happened. Donald's speaking out on it, but there's repercussions. We'll tell you about it all in seconds. Sam and Kurt, Lowell Nelson, Liberty Roundtable, live.
Yeah, this is David in engineering.
This is your wife in suburbia.
Oh, hi, hon. What's up?
How's the robot coming?
Well, it doesn't exactly respond to requests yet, but I'm...
Well, I know how frustrating that can be.
You do?
Uh-huh. I'm still waiting for my romantic lunch date.
Oh, yeah.
David.
Well, I must not have enough memory allocated.
Uh-huh.
Sorry.
You know, your son said mama today.
Really?
Uh-huh.
Well, we'll have to have that sound chip changed to Dada.
Well, you could reprogram it yourself, you know.
I know. Hey, why don't we do it over lunch today?
Oh, you really are brilliant.
Thanks. You want me to bring the robot?
David.
He can order pasta in 11 languages.
Only if he pays for his own lunch.
Okay. Oh, don't forget to bring Chip.
I still wish we hadn't named him that.
Well, why? It beats general default.
Oh.
Family. Isn't it about time?
Do you know that a baby processes information 3 times faster than an adult?
An adult what?
Engineer. Funny.
I'll see you at noon.
I can't wait.
From the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints.
Can a nation conceived in liberty carry its head high if it denies protection to the youngest and most vulnerable of its citizens? Can a country founded on God-given rights continue to thrive without understanding that life is a precious gift from our Creator? As a physician, I have looked into the eyes of 1-pound babies. I have cradled their small bodies in the palm of one hand. I defy those who are careless, who would disregard life and look at these tiny little miracles and say, we're not going to protect that.
But I believe there will come a time when we are all judged on whether or not we took a stand in defense of all life from the moment of conception until our last natural breath. One thing I promise you, I will always take a stand for life.
All right, Lowell Nelson, campaignforliberty.org on your radio, baby. We're talking about this guy that, well, I don't know what happened. He went into an embassy and he never came out, Lowell.
His name was Jamal Khashoggi. I don't know if I'm pronouncing that last name correctly, but...
Now, you would think embassies should be somewhat of a safe zone, huh?
Well, it was the Saudi Arabia embassy. It was the Saudi Arabian consulate there in Istanbul. And therefore, basically, Saudi Arabia law prevails right on that property in the consulate. And so, you know, this type of thing is done in the Middle East. People, you know, they kill their political opponents. They torture their families. This is the kind of thing they do, unfortunately. I'm not condoning this at all, but this is the kind of thing that happens in these countries where life is not valued. And so the deal was, Sam, is that the Turkish authorities now claim to be in possession of this recording of what happened during the last few minutes of his life, where he was interrogated and tortured and then murdered. And they didn't realize that he had turned the record button on his Apple Watch until after they had killed him. And his fiance, who was waiting for him outside the consulate, apparently turned this over to Turkish authorities. Not only that, Sam, but the Turkish authorities have found evidence of the murder from the sewer system. And so, you know, that's just something it's pretty hard to hide, that type of crime. And we can only wait and see on this, Sam, to see what will happen. You know, both countries, both Turkey and Saudi Arabia, agreed to do a full-scale investigation. And when 15 Turkish investigators showed up at the consulate, they backed down and said, nope, we can't let you come in. And so the two countries are a bit at odds right now, but hopefully they will be able to get to the bottom of it. And the reason I'm talking about this today, Sam, is that the Rand Paul introduced he wants to force a vote on the arms sales to Saudi Arabia. He tried to do this earlier in the year, and to his credit, got a lot of support, but not quite enough. And so the Senate continued to allow these arms sales. But basically, he said, look, if Saudi Arabia is implicated in the disappearance of Khashoggi, then I'm going to force a vote on the next arms sales to Saudi Arabia. We're going to stop this madness and quit selling arms to Saudi Arabia, Sam.
And Saudi Arabia then doubles down and says, if you do that, we'll hit back twice as hard. They're kind of pulling a Donald statement on the Donald there. And so that's kind of an interesting thing. What do you think is going to happen? Do you think we're going to stand up against Saudi Arabia on this? We haven't had the guts to do so thus far. We're actually funding and training and arming them, aren't we?
We certainly are. We're not only that, we're providing targeting information in Yemen for their bombers that we refuel and we help them fly. So if you're part of the military-industrial complex here in the United States, where you have a constant revenue stream coming into your company, you are not going to want to let the Senate take a vote on this. You're not going to want to stop the shipment of arms to Saudi Arabia because it's such a cash cow for you and your company. So there are evil, I don't know, there's corporate forces working against the freedom of the Yemeni people in this case. If you go by history, we've been over there helping Saudi Arabia bomb them for 3 years. And it's hard to say that anything's going to change anytime soon for them, Sam.
Yes, indeed. It's an epic battle, to say the least. We've kind of considered Saudi Arabia as our friendlies, but I'm not so sure that's reality. Rand Paul's going to force a vote, he claims. That's The Hill reporting this. And believe it or not, Senator Mike Lee and Rand Paul stand together in opposing U.S. support of the Saudi-led genocide of the, did you say it, Yemeni people? Anyway, the Yemeni people there. So, you know, there's a lot going on with war. Saudi Arabia says it's going to hit back twice as hard against any sanctions over the Khashoggi deal. Is that how you say it? Anyway, Daily Caller reporting that. Say again, Lowell.
Yeah, I think it's pronounced Khashoggi. I think you're right there. And the reason this we're coming closer and closer to stopping the arms shipments to Saudi Arabia, folks, is because good people like our listeners are calling their senators and they're putting some pressure on them. And this is exactly how you influence politicians to do what you want them to do. You call them and you demand some action. You know, you call them up every day this week and say, look, we need you to stop selling arms to Yemen or to Saudi Arabia because it's resulting in the deaths of so many people in Yemen. And they have a staffer there. You'll never get to talk to your senator, but you will get to talk to a staffer. And I guarantee you, Sam, that staffer has a little sheet of paper, on a sheet of paper, it makes a tick mark every time they get a phone call about any particular topic. Those topics with the numbers of phone calls associated with them are given to the senator every single day as part of the report. And if a senator notices an uptick of interest in some particular topic, they become sensitive to that topic. And so we need to pound the phone lines about this support for Saudi Arabia so that our senators will stand up against these armed deals to Saudi Arabia and stop the war on Yemen. We're killing hundreds of people every day. There's hundreds of people every day in Yemen who die because we support Saudi Arabia's bombing on Yemen. And I'll tell you one other thing, Sam, you need to do. When you make that telephone call, folks, to your senator, ask them, insist that they also schedule a vote on Senate Bill 16 audit the Fed. I know we've hit this topic many, many times. We don't have enough time to hit it again today. But, again, the Senate Bill 16 audit the Fed, we have to get a vote scheduled on this bill this month. Because time is running out, and it's got to happen before the midterm elections. It's got to happen before November. That means we need it this week or next. So please, folks, call your senator and insist that they schedule a vote on Senate Bill 16 out of the Fed and stop the bombing of Yemen, Sam.
Whole lot of more Memorial Day, ladies and gentlemen. It's coming up. It's not here yet, but we got to highlight it. Since 2006, the Ukrainians have been observing a whole lot of more Memorial Day on the fourth Saturday of November. It's 2 days after Thanksgiving here in the United States. It's ironic. It's horrible. Russia still refuses to recognize the genocide. They just kind of made it sound like they had food troubles back in 1932, 33, kind of a range. But it was literally murder. It was literally a forced famine. And literally one third of the people were, what, under 10 years old, lol, that died?
That's right, Sam.
It's a horrible thing.
They died at the rate of 28,000 people per day, Sam, during the height of Holodomor in 1932-33. 28,000 people every day. And, this is in juxtaposition to what's happening in Yemen. I don't think the death rate in Yemen right now is that high, but it's still hundreds every day. In Yemen, it is a genocide in Yemen today, just like it was in Ukraine in 1933, Sam. And we got to stop doing that.
Amen to that. You want to say something about a whole lot of more Memorial Day, Kurt?
Well, I would say may it never happen again.
Couldn't have said it better myself. Amen to that. We want to make sure it doesn't happen again. And that's the reason that we're spending so much time about it, because you know what? I lived most of my life and didn't even know this happened. You know, you hear so much about World War II and so much about Hitler, and no doubt all that's evil too. I get it. But you know what? There's plenty of evil examples of war and famine. And you know what? We stand against these wars. We pray for peace. Lol.
We certainly do, Sam. And after this upcoming break, Sam, I have an excerpt that I want to read from just a story. Take just 2.5 minutes to read this, and I'll be able to stay on till about 8:40 to talk about this. But it's the story of a woman, of a young family who lived in eastern Prussia during World War II. But because of the war, they were forced to leave their home, Sam, and travel to West Germany on foot. And the reason I want to do this, Sam, is because it's senseless. All of these wars are just senseless. It's bully. It's basically the politicians. They're the ones that get us into these wars, these predicaments. And most of the country doesn't want war. You know, you and I, we don't want war. We don't want to kill other people. And most of the world is like you and me. We don't want it. But we got these politicians that get us into these quagmires, Sam.
Yeah, they're bureaucrats. They're armchair quarterbacks with too much cash for their own good. And one of the big things we need to do is decrease the funding and decrease the expenditures of governments everywhere. Sam, Kurt, and Lowell, back in seconds. This is indeed Liberty Roundtable Live.
Proclaiming liberty across the land. You're listening to Liberty News Radio.
As a parent, is receiving a faith-based, character-focused education for your children difficult to find? Do you believe that godly principles should be a central component in your child's education? Imagine a school where faith and integrity are at its center, where heritage and responsibility instill character. For over 40 years, American Heritage School has been educating both hearts and minds, bringing out academic excellence. This is the school where character and embracing the providence of a living God are fundamental, where students' national test scores average near the 90th percentile. With American Heritage School's Advanced Distance Education Program, distance is no longer an issue. With an accredited LDS-oriented curriculum from kindergarten through 12th grade, your children can attend from anywhere in the world. American Heritage School will prepare your child for more than a job. It will prepare them for life. To learn more, visit American-Heritage.org. That's American-Heritage.org.
Liberty is not free. Its costs are innumerable. Without monetary funding, the valiant efforts of freedom-loving Americans become diminished or outright defeated. We present a solution, the Give Me Liberty Fund. The plan is quite simple. Invite individual Americans to contribute less than a dollar a day. These monetary funds are used to promote liberty-minded media, organizations, events, candidates, movements, and speakers. In the spirit of transparency, all expenditures are published. Patriotic business owners provide discounted products and services to Give Me Liberty Fund members. Our greatest strength is in numbers. Go to GiveMeLibertyFund.com and become part of the solution today. GiveMeLibertyFund.com. Participate in the peaceful restoration of the greatest and freest country in the world.
Getting the kids to school, cleaning the house, doing the laundry. It seems that the work routine as a stay-at-home mom is never ending. And even though I'm the prime grocery shopper in our family of four, I simply don't have time to scrutinize all the labels on the countless food products I buy. Oh, sure, I've noticed all the latest certification seals. Organic, non-GMO, gluten-free. It definitely seems to be the latest craze. But it was only recently that kosher certification seals caught my attention. You see, my husband had me download an app called Kosertify, and it shed light on a century-old certification industry that slipped under the radar screen from the majority of our public. I also noticed a question mark at the end of the app name, and that makes great sense as there's far more questions regarding this industry than answers. In fact, the developers refer to this as the kosher question. Sure, I'm a busy mom and didn't pay attention to our food culture, but now I have transparency, a convenient grocery list feature, and the ability to eat in favor of my family's best interests, and you can discover it too at thekosherquestion.com.
All right, Sam Bushman, Kirk Cosby, Lowell Nelson, breaking it down just for you. We're talking about war and how evil it is. We're talking about how Saudi Arabia literally had this guy go into a consulate. He never came out. Thank heavens for what, Apple Watches tied to cell phones that upload what happened? That's all we know about it, ladies and gentlemen. What are we talking about? We're talking about the disappearance of Jamal Khashoggi. Anyway, the details were recorded as far as we understand. Whether that's legitimate or not, I have no way to verify. Nevertheless, Rand Paul wants to force a vote on the U.S. arms sales to Saudi Arabia, saying, hey, we have no business giving them arms and funding and training and weapons. And I mean, what are we doing, folks? But you know what? Senator Mike Lee and Senator Rand Paul both oppose this genocide. The Saudi-led genocide of the Yemeni people. But you know what? Saudi Arabia says it'll hit back twice as hard against any sanctions over that deal, says Daily Caller. So we wish for an end to our wars in Afghanistan and Yemen and elsewhere. We pray for peace. We got to think about our brother like ourselves. You know what? Most people around the world, whether we agree or disagree on politics or et cetera, most of us just want to be left alone, Lowell.
That's for sure, Sam. And my reason for reading this story for our listeners, I just want everybody to to sit back and think while I read this story. See if you can put yourself into the position of this young lady. She was married and had four small children. Sam lived in Eastern Prussia. Now, I wasn't really familiar with that, so I pulled up a map last night. And Prussia, back in its heyday, was very big. It covered, you know, all the way from West Germany all the way into Russia. It was a huge country, a huge nation, basically. But Eastern Prussia is way east of East Germany. And so, basically, because of the occupying powers left after World War II, she was one of 11 million Germans who was required to leave her homeland and all of her basic possessions and go to West Germany to seek a new home. And she made the trip on foot, Sam, 1,000 miles, very reminiscent, I think, of the trek that many of the pioneers took from Missouri all the way into the Salt Lake Valley here in the United States.
Yeah, the members of the Church of Jesus Christ were under an extermination order by Governor Boggs, kill all men, women, and children on sight, kind of an idea. So we get it for sure.
So here she is. She was permitted to only to take bare necessities, bedding and so forth, that she could load onto her small wooden-wheeled wagon, about 65 pounds in all, which she then pulled across the desolate wasteland of war. Her smallest child was a babe in arms. She carried that baby in her arms while the other three children did their best to walk beside her during this trek of over 1,000 miles on foot. Like I said, her husband had been killed in the war. She started her journey in the late summer, having neither food nor money among her few possessions. She was forced to gather a daily subsistence from the fields and forests along the way. Constantly, she was also faced with dangers from panicky refugees and marauding troops. Soon the snows came, and temperatures dropped to about 40 below zero. One by one, her children died, either frozen to death or the victim of starvation or both. She buried them in shallow graves by the roadside, using a tablespoon as a shovel. And finally, as she was reaching the end of her journey, her last little child died in her arms. Her spoon was gone now, so she dug a grave in the frozen earth with her bare fingers. And as she was kneeling in the snow at the graveside of her last child, having lost her husband and all of her children, basically given up on her earthly goods, her homeland, found herself among people whose condition resembled her own wretched state of affairs. In this moment, Sam, of deep sorrow and bewilderment, she felt her heart would break. And so in despair, she contemplated how she might end her own life, as so many of her fellow countrymen were doing. How easy it would be to jump off a nearby bridge, she thought, or throw herself in front of an oncoming train. And she thought about these thoughts. The thought came to her, get down on your knees and pray, which she did. And she prayed more fervently than ever before, and then she knew more assuredly than ever before that God lived, and that if she continued faithful and true to the end, she would be saved in the kingdom of God. And so that's the end of the vignette I wanted to read, Sam, but that's the destruction that comes upon a family due to war, and we rarely think about that. I bring this up because I want people to be sobered up about war. It's not all guts and glory. It's a lot of grief that follows war, and I just hope that sharing that vignette will help persuade people against war, and we need to turn our politicians against war, and we just need to quit killing people, Sam.
Amen to that, and this story has, in my opinion, several poignant points to highlight. One is that, you know what, these peoples of these different countries, different nationalities, different cultures, different ethnicities, etc., you know what? They have and want the same things we have, or they hope for if they don't have the same things that we have. And, you know, deep down inside, we're all the children of God and we want the same things. We want peace. We want reasonable prosperity. We want familial relationships of husband and wives and children. And those things matter most. We want simple lives that, you know, we want enough food to feed ourselves and care for ourselves, enough money to keep the wolves from the door, so to speak. And, you know, most people are primarily focused on those same concerns, even when you get past the four basic necessities of food, clothing, shelter, and fuel. even after that, most people want pretty much the same things. And once you get past those four basic necessities, it takes very little to make one happy. The worry of how to make those things happen for safety and security is the biggest concern and fear for people. Once they get past all that, most people are pretty simple and want the same things and are pretty happy and pretty stable, and they're good people, and they see good in others, and they try to serve one another and care for one another. And it's war that brings people down, or famine that brings people down to these base realities. They take people beyond their natural caring for one another and their desire to be good people, and they bring out the worst in everyone. And we've got to understand that first. That's one important point. The second important point to understand is that, you know what, she, as anybody else on the planet, can and should do. When times get tough, turn to the Almighty. And I think that's a poignant reminder for that for all of us, Lowell.
Well, absolutely, Sam. And I like that also in conjunction with the story about the pastor from Andrew Brunson, who was imprisoned in Turkey for 2 years. I find incredible parallels there, Sam, and that's why I raised that earlier. Andrew Brunson, he goes to the Oval Office, and he kneels in prayer with our president. And there were a lot of people in the room at the same time, a lot of press, and we're not hearing about it like we should, but that one prayer that woman offered on the cold, frozen ground in Germany is very similar to the prayer that Andrew Brunson offered, I'm sure, in the Oval Office with President Trump. There is great power in prayer, and we just need to do a lot more of it, Sam.
Amen to that. Speaking of that, Kurt's got a poignant piece that'll delight you, Lowell. Kurt?
Well, you're talking about, you know, the details on this? Is that what you mean?
Well, I'm talking about the headline you sent me about this pastor.
On the prayer? Yeah.
Yes, sir.
Okay, I just wanted to make
sure. It's prayer, it's the pastor, it's all wrapped up into one cool headline, Kurt.
That's right. You know, it says, U.S. pastor freed from Turkey, prays with Trump in Oval Office. Darlene Supervale and Zeke Miller is the author. It's an AP piece, but, you know, you're rarely going to
see. Once in a while, you're going to give praise to the AP,
press.
Huh, Kurt?
I know. But, like I say, it happened over the weekend, so they're going to put it out, but it won't get, you know, seen very much.
It will by us, ladies and gentlemen. So think about it. The president of the United States, the leader of the free world, helps a guy get free that's a religious leader, a Christian leader. And they literally, he comes to the Oval Office and they kneel down in prayer together. And I'm sure, I wish I could have been a fly on the wall for that. But they, you know, I'm sure thank God that he's free and released, and thank God for, you know, freed from Turkey. And all I'm telling you, what an example. I wonder if Barack or Bill Clinton would have prayed with this guy.
When he asked President Trump if he could pray for him, the president replied, "Well, I need it probably more than anyone else in this room. So that would be very nice. Thank you." That doesn't
pretty
sound
gay,
like
gracious.
The bombastic, kind of rough, tough old guy that everybody says he is. Brunson left his chair beside Trump, kneeled and placed a hand on the president's shoulder as Trump bowed his head. Brunson asked God to give him, Lowell mentioned this, give him supernatural wisdom to accomplish all the plans you have for this country.
Amen.
And for him, I ask that you give him wisdom in how to lead this country into righteousness.
Bring it. We need more of it. That's all I got to say. More prayer, less war, ladies and gentlemen. That's the upshot. Strange stuff coming up in seconds. Sam, Kurt, and Lowell on your radio.
Attention Liberty News Radio listeners. Hard-hitting talk radio has never been and never will be supported by the mainstream in America. Hard-hitting talk radio is taking on the mainstream press like never before. News the networks refuse to use is one of the best ways to educate people. We invite all liberty-loving Americans to join with us to restore the principles of our founding fathers and promote God, family, and country in the media and our lives. Please help spread the liberty message with your generous donation. You can go online at libertynewsradio.com right now and make a donation online. or call 801-756-9133 and make a donation over the phone. That's LibertyNewsRadio.com and 801-756-9133. Make a donation today.
Scott Bradley here. Most Americans are painfully aware that the nation is on the wrong track and in dire straits. Unfortunately, most political pundits only nibble around the edges when they claim to address the issues. Even worse, many of the so-called solutions are simply rewarmed servings of what got us into the mess we currently face. And the politicians think we're so gullible and naive that we'll buy their lies that they have reformed and now understand where they led us astray. Unfortunately, the truth of the matter is that they simply wish to continue to hold power. The solution to America's challenges is found in returning to the timeless principles found in the United States Constitution. My book and lecture series will reawaken in Americans an understanding and love of the principles which made this nation the freest, most prosperous, happiest, and most respected nation on earth. Visit topreservethenation.com and order my book and lectures to begin the restoration of this great nation.
Back with you live, ladies and gentlemen. Sam Bushman and Kirk Crosby. Lowell had to take off. He's traveling today, and he graciously took well over an hour and a half of his time with us, so we're grateful for that.
By the way, Sam, yeah. There's a little bit more detail from the Associated Press on this prayer, which I just find really unusual.
Yeah, let's give people quickly the headline again, Kurt.
Okay. It says, a U.S. pastor freed from Turkey prays with President Trump in Oval Office.
I mean, good stuff, ladies and gentlemen. Where's the mainstream press when you need them the most? Now, the Associated Press would say, well, we covered it. Yeah, but they did so over a weekend. They put it on the wire and everybody ignores it, right? We want to highlight this piece because we believe these are where the solutions lie, Kurt.
That's right. The pastor prayed. Well, he went and knelt down by the president after asking him if it was okay if he prayed for him. The president, commented that, hey, I probably need it more than anybody in this room. And so, he went to pray for the president, placed a hand on the president's shoulder. He asked God to give him supernatural wisdom to accomplish all the plans, etc. I asked that you give him wisdom in how to lead this country into righteousness. He continued, I asked that you give him perseverance and endurance and courage to stand for truth. I asked that you protect him from slander, from enemies, from those who would undermine him. I ask that you make him a great blessing to this country. Fill him with your wisdom and strength and perseverance, and we bless him. May he be a great blessing to our country. And it says, in Jesus' name, we bless you. Amen.
Amen to that, too. What a powerful leader, Mr. Brunson, coming off of a horrible prison term in Turkey and then coming out and literally blessing the President of the United States or praying for him. And I agree and have those same prayers in my heart. I pray that Donald Trump is given the power of discernment to know when enemies are about and to know when they're laying plans for siege and destruction. And I pray President Trump can understand the supreme law of the land, the Constitution, and apply the principles therein. Pure application of the principles of freedom embodied in the supreme law of our land. If Donald can understand and apply those things, just what a blessing it would be, you know. Anyway, pretty cool stuff. Any more on that, Kurt?
You know, just looking through the story, one of the things that President Obama did was paid ransom, in my opinion, to countries that would hold some of our hostages. President Trump, in this story, the AP says, we do not pay ransom in this country, Trump said.
And I agree with Donald Trump, by the way, because the only problem is when you pay ransom, all it does is encourage and promote the same thing.
That's
hey,
right.
Who can get the next ransom? Who can increase the ransoms? Who can? And if you don't pay them, it's like, hey, you know what? that ship has sailed. We're not doing that. And then Donald Trump says there was no secret deal behind the scenes to get him free either. And I pray
and
that's
I
true.
I guess the president asked the pastor and his family which candidate they voted for in 2016, saying he was confident they had gone for him. He said, I would like to say I sent in an absentee ballot from prison, he quipped. Yeah, I don't think that's happening from a Turkish prison, right, Sam? But anyway.
Not anytime soon, you know, but there you go. Anyway, so that's good news. And on the bad news front, Kurt, there's a headline I wanted to bounce off you. Here's what it says.
Now, I will say this real quick. Yeah. You know, Tony Perkins, our buddy at Family Research Council, was very happy to see.
He does a radio show called Washington Watch right before our show on the same network, Kurt.
Anyway, he was very pleased at this, you know, occurrence there getting.
And I concur with Tony's, right?
Out.
Spot on.
Yeah.
No doubt. We need more of it. I wish I had the chance to go pray with the president, too.
Amen.
I'd pray for him. And, you know, I don't know that my prayers are any more powerful than anybody else's, but I know this. I'll put my heart and soul into it. I'll tell you that right now.
Yeah. Very good.
All right. This is very weird, and I just want you to respond to this, Kurt. Headline says this. Biological male wins world championship in women's cycling. So now the women are all mad, saying it ain't fair there, Kurt.
Imagine that, Sam. I mean, you know, they're all promoting this whole equal rights and there's no difference between men and women and all that kind of stuff, right? And yet, kind of backfires, doesn't it?
Yeah, anyway, so they say biological male wins world championship in women's cycling. And I just kind of think, man, when are we going to get that there's differences and just admit to this, Kurt, and just deal with it and say, hey, you know what? They should have equality, but they're not equals. They're different. But you know what? They both have God-given talents that are complementary, not divisionary. And when are we going to just come to this clear, simple understanding? It's not that hard, Kurt.
Yep. I mean, even those same people will tell you there's a difference between a cat and a dog, but somehow... I mean, they'd laugh somebody out of the room if they said, well, a cat's the same as a dog. You know, man isn't the same as a woman.
Heard that.
That's not the way it is.
All right. S.A. Miller, Washington Times, wrote an article. Headline says, Kavanaugh confirmation battle stokes voter anger on both sides, Kurt. You want to respond to this one?
Well, I mean, the bottom line is people are pretty incensed about it all, don't you think, Sam? I mean, they're actively, you got the pro-aborts, you know, the people that want those babies killed. They're thinking, man, they've lost a big one. And then you got the people that are thinking that man was treated unfairly. They're pretty ticked off. Right?
Yes, they are. But again, what I want to do, though, is say, look, Kavanaugh's already on the court. Let's accept it. If we believe there's been wrongdoing on the bench, let's look at impeachment of him and anybody else, by the way. And when it comes to the allegations made against Mr. Kavanaugh, I think that they ought to find out if the allegations that are not, if they're not true. I want accountability for the folks making the false allegations. It's libel. It's slander. It's got to stop. But I got a question. Are the conservatives going to push as hard as the liberals have done, Kurt? I don't think so.
We don't do that.
We just walk away and, you know, we don't do those things, right? Now, there's rare exceptions.
Well, that way there's nothing to be paid for, you know what I mean? There's no... In fact, the lady is already getting, you know, huge amounts of offers for
making
a book,
Kurt?
Deal. I'm talking about the one that accused Kavanaugh.
Oh, there's three of them, Kurt.
Feinstein. Well, I know. I'm talking about the main.
You're talking about the one that testified? Her name is Miss Ford, right?
Yeah. Okay. Anyway, I just know that I've seen reports where she's getting huge offers for book deals and TV deals and movie deals and all that kind of stuff. So they're rewarding her, and I don't think she should be rewarded if those are untrue.
Well, and again, what if you can't prove that they're untrue? But you can prove there's no witnesses that'll stand up because you can't find them. And you can prove that there's no evidence to the case. See, in my opinion, I'm not trying to dismiss if it ever happened or not because I don't know the truth, Kurt. But what I know is without witnesses and without evidence, you can't carry forward something. And she ought to be accountable. She can't just make claims with no witnesses and without any evidence and destroy a man's life and character over this kind of stuff. In other words, even Kavanaugh said, it may have happened to you, ma'am, but I wasn't the guy that did it. And that's very possible, too. And when Donald Trump, you know, articulates she doesn't know where and how and who and what and all these things, you know, they just go off and say, oh, Donald mocked her. He trolled her. He made fun of her. I don't think so. I think he's pointing out a very fundamental reality. Look, what are we to do when you've got a lady making an allegation where there's no evidence, there's no witnesses. It's basically he said, she said scenario. And she makes these allegations. What do you do when it destroys someone's life? I mean, forevermore now, Kavanaugh will be looked at by many as a sexual predator. And my problem is, again, if you've got a case, file it locally in the proper jurisdiction. But I want to see witnesses and or evidence or both. We need to see something. And as much as I care and as much as I don't want to ignore her story, I do want the truth. But I don't know how you get at the truth if there's no witnesses and there's no evidence. I'm just not sure how. And our system is just inadequate to deal with it. But I rely on God, and the perfect judge someday will vet the truth of this for sure. In the meantime, I think these women should be accountable for things they say, if they're true. So there you have it. Any final thoughts on this one, Kurt?
Yeah.
Or untrue. Either yeah, way. Right. Sorry about it. So, you know, it's a good point, but what do you think is going to happen?
Well, I believe, you know, it's just like all the swamp monsters to get. I mean, there's only enough time or 24 hours in a day. And if you got, say, you got 24,000 swamp monsters and you can only get 24 of them in a day, then you got to get 24. And then you go after another 24 the next day, you know.
And I agree with that. At the same time, I say you'll never drain the swamp, though. You'll run out of time where they'll, hey, the next group that wants to promote the swamp will just, you know, put in, when it's their turn, 10 times as many as you dismantle. So I appreciate the efforts.
Yeah, you just hope that, you know, somebody else might follow up, you know.
Yeah, and you hope that somehow each day it can gain ground and go faster. In other words, the more we take out of the swamp, the easier it should be to dismantle the swamp, right? Good so our point. Prayers are that that happens. But, you know, we talked about Donald Aid and how he needs to shut down foreign aid. And we've talked about Donald Trump, how he needs to shut down foreign aid and all this kind of stuff. But Donald just doubled foreign aid, Kurt. He created a new foreign aid program. Did you hear about this?
No.
All right. It's massive. It's a whole new government program. Congress, both sides of the aisle, the Donald, they all got together and secretly shoved this down our throats.
Darn.
I'll have to follow up tomorrow on this and highlight it for you. We're running out of time. Also, Elizabeth Warren, I guess, released her DNA under pressure, and we'll get answers to that, too. This is serious stuff, though. I guess it's called China's Wakefield Reversal by Donald Trump on foreign aid. It's a New York Times article written by Glenn Thrush, if you want to check it out. I'll cover it in detail tomorrow. We got to get to it, but I just wanted to highlight a little bit of that, too. So I'm really disappointed in President Trump over this, though. He literally caved big time. There's supposedly good reasons for caving, though, Kurt, don't you know?
Of course.
China's doing it. We don't want to be left behind, Kurt.
Okay.
Just imagine if there's a big vacuum and China was able to you know, influence everybody and everything and everywhere. And then I go back to, why are we giving so much money to China then? See, one bad policy leads to another bad policy, leads to another bad policy, and then in order to get out of the bad policies, we implement another bad policy. I submit to you, Kurt, it's bad policy. All right, thanks for being alongside with the ride. 2 hours in the can. Thanks. A big shout-out to Lowell Nelson, CampaignForLiberty.com, or Liberty, CampaignForLiberty.org, sorry. And for Sam Bushman and Kurt Crosby, we declare we the people, along with the grace of the Almighty, we can and will restore America. But ladies and gentlemen, you got to get involved in every way possible. If you believe the Widow's Mite Radio Network's making a difference, please fund us today. LibertyRoundtable.com or LibertyNewsRadio.com. Donate today. 2 hours in the can, live tomorrow. I'm Sam Bushman with Kurt Crosby, and we declare this nation shall endure. God save the Republic of the United States of America.